Lord, bring. This morning. Amen. God bless you. This is 32 in your hymn book.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests all succeed a bright sunshine. But in that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better. Shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands, but we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. Yes, we'll understand it better by and by. Wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. And by when the morning comes, when all the saints of my God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we will come, and we'll understand it better by.
Think you can get your hands together and clap. would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll climb on till we die. Yes, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints gather home, well, we'll overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. Oh, sing it by and by. When
aren't you thankful for that promise?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe we don't understand everything just now, but we will understand it by and by. Amen. God bless you richly. Wanted to remind you again, please watch your children after church for in the parking lot there, people backing in and out and things like that. And then also we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this morning. Brother Ben and Sister Crystal Wright, they're traveling out of town. Want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. And also Brother Gene and Sister Vera traveling out of town. Want to remember them as well. And Brother John Leake requested prayer for a family situation. We want to remember that in prayer. And Sister Layton's not feeling well this morning. Also, Brother Thor Fast has the flu. And a friend of Brother Japheth's by the name of Ed Ellers is having stones removed from his bladder on Monday. So we want to remember that. And also a friend of Brother Daniel Cooley's had collapsed on a vacation in Jamaica last week, and they had to fly him to Florida for a surgery and things, and they found out that he had an infection in his blood that had affected the valves in his heart and the wall of his heart, and so they did a surgery to replace the valves with some type of a mechanical valve and did grafts to patch the walls of his heart and put in a permanent pacemaker. He's just about mine and Brother Daniel's age, so I want to just remember him in prayer. And also, I think because there wasn't a medical plane that was able to take him from Jamaica to Florida, he had to rent a private jet to do that as an emergency situation. So they're in debt a lot in regards to that. So just please be in prayer for them that the Lord will move on the scene, that the insurance will help them cover that. And then also want to just ask you to continue to remember my dad in prayer for a complete recovery. And I believe he's meeting with a surgeon on Tuesday about a potential surgery that'll help him as well. So want to remember that in prayer, just for the Lord to give the doctor's wisdom. And also want to continue to remember Sister Julie and Sister Christie's Grandma Betty in prayer. And also want to continue to remember Brother Chad Vaughn's grandfather in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Jimmy, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Lord, you feel that. Lord, you feel everything. My
my little wife not being here with me today, traveling herself. Ask for mercy for her, Lord. Sister Layton, Lord, not feeling well. Father, we ask you to give her a touch. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, most of all, grant us faith here today, Lord, to look to you for what we have need of.
Yes.
And if you'll pass by, Lord, lay your hand upon us and grant us that faith, Lord. We shall receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning again, saints. This morning we're going to be reading the 60th chapter of Psalms at 6-0, 60th chapter of the book of Psalms. For those of you that haven't figured it out, I've been going in numerological, that's a good one this morning, order, number order, how's that? So next week, the Lord willing, it'll be 61, unless he leads me different. All right, the 60th chapter. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again.
Thou hast made the earth tremble, thou hast broken it, yield the reach thereof, for it shaketh.
Thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment.
Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that they may be displayed because of the truth.
That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me.
Thou hast spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will cry, Shem, and be not proud of suffering.
Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head, and Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my... Sorry.
Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia
Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom?
Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and thou, O God, which is not go out of the mountains?
Give us help from trouble. Vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he is that tread down our enemies. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Chloe.
Fill me with the
the brothers come. Can we sing that a couple more times?
Over.
Appreciate that. That should be the desire of our hearts. This is 357 in your hymn book. Amen. You thankful you found the blood that pardons? It's all because of Jesus.
Oh, I have found the blood that pardons, and I have found those stripes that heal. I have found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all my sin. Oh, it's in Jesus, all in Jesus. It's in Jesus. He is the one. He's the rock of salvation, a firm foundation. It's in Jesus. He is the one. Oh, hallelujah.
We stand this morning.
I will bless the Lord. Oh, let's just bless him. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless.
Let the whole church bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, I want to bless his holy name. Oh, I know he's done great things. Has he done great things in your life? Oh, he's done great. I believe he's going to do something this morning. Oh, I know he has done great things. I want to bless his holy name. So I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all is within me. Bless his holy
bless you. You can be seated for a moment if you'd like. We're going to have a baby dedication this morning. If they bring the child at this time, let's sing it together. Oh, bring them in. Grayson Blake Joseph. They bring him to give him back to the one that gave him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you just be with this child, Lord, as the parents bring him to be dedicated. Lord, I just ask that you would touch him, Lord, and guide him, be with him, Lord, all the days of his life. Lord, may you protect him from the ways of the enemy, Lord. Just keep your guiding hand upon him, Lord. Give the parents wisdom on how to raise him, Lord, and Lord, may they teach him to serve you, Father. May you use him in a mighty way to be a blessing to others, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Appreciate that this morning. Let's stand together if you would. Let's sing this together before we go into the service this morning. Oh, if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. Oh, if you feel lost, he's a way maker. Or if you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking. Savior, he's a prison shaking Savior. God bless you this morning. Aren't you thankful we serve a God like that?
Amen.
Amen. It's more than just a man, more than mortality. But we serve an immortal, infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful God. Amen. What a blessed people that we are. Amen. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, if you turn with me this morning. St. Matthew, chapter 15. Still going to look at this thought on a scriptural voice. Brother Trevor asked me this morning, said, is it still a scriptural voice this morning? I said, well, could be a scriptural voice for a long time. Amen. Got a lot of notes on and different ideas to go this way. I guess if we just kept it with the scriptures and looked at the scriptures and typed it through, we could just stay on a scriptural voice till the rapture, but just however the Lord leads is what we want. So. St. Matthew chapter 15, and want to read just verse 22 and the beginning of verse 23 to begin with, and then we'll pick up the story a little longer later on in the service if you want to hold your place there. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her, not a word. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, I just ask that you take complete control of this service. Lord, we need you again this morning to just come on the scene and help. Lord, there are people sitting, Lord, in your divine presence this morning that, Lord, they have many different needs, some of them sick in body, some of them tired and weary from the battles of life, some of them with, Lord, emotional scars, some of them with family problems, some of them with financial problems. Lord, some of them that, Lord, they need encouragement to keep going on, Lord. And Lord, many of them here with loved ones that are sick in body, or Lord, with loved ones that have strayed away from you. Lord, may you just be with each need this morning, I pray.
Yes.
Lord, help us as a body of believers, Lord, just to draw closer to you. May we walk out of here, Lord, this afternoon closer than we were when we came in. Lord, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you for all that you do. Lord, I ask that you just give me strength and wisdom. Give me the words to say. Lord, I have nothing on my own that I can bring of substance or help. Lord, simply to your cross we cling this morning, knowing and depending on you, knowing that you're able to move on the scene and help individuals, Lord, in the struggle that they're facing, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you, and you can be seated again. If you go over into, you can hold your place there in St. Matthew, but if we go over into St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 26, the same story, the scripture says that the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now she comes and she cries out to him and she says, Son of David, O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the scripture says in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Nothing. Here she comes with a petition. Here she comes with a need. My, how would you feel this morning if you came up for a prayer request or came up with a need at the end of the service and you said, you know, Brother Nathan or Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, Brother Trevor, Brother Arnie, whoever the brothers were praying for you, I've got this need in my life and I need you to really be in prayer with me about this. And we just stood there and ignored you, pretended like you weren't even there, didn't answer you a word. My, would you storm out and never come back? Would you get upset? Would you say, oh my, those people up there at Church of the Open North, they just don't know how to express love. I want to say this morning, this was the very expression of love in body form. But our love, many times we confuse love for sympathy, and we confuse love for just a doty little, you know, go along with compassion or whatever it be. Love does express sympathy, and love does express compassion, but love goes beyond all of those things. Love goes beyond all things. Love is not just sympathetic, but love, real true love, will try to do what is best for the other person. Now, part of the problem was here, this, the way that she was addressing him, he was not son of David to her. He was son of David to the Jews. But she doesn't address him in a way that he can respond to her. But I'm glad that she just didn't get upset and just blow off the handle and get mad and fly off like a lot of us did. But she stuck around long enough till she got what she came for. Now, many times when we don't do that, it's because we're not desperate enough. Sometimes we come and we're sick in body, and we come and we get anointed with oil and we get prayed for, and we go out and we say, well, I don't feel any better than I did. You're not desperate enough yet. Sometimes we come up and we ask for prayer. Lord, I want to take on your name in baptism. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want salvation. And we shake the pastor's hand. We say a few words that he tells us to repeat. And we go out and, well, that might make you a good Baptist, but that doesn't mean that you received Jesus Christ. Right. Jesus Christ is a person that we can have a personal relationship with. It's more than shaking the preacher's hand. It's more than saying some words. It's more than any gift that he could give to the body. It's a personal relationship that he comes and dwells on the inside of us. Amen. Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Many times we don't get desperate enough. Oh, I want the Holy Ghost. And we come down and we pray and cry for about 30 minutes. And then, well, I didn't feel anything different, so we just give up. You're not desperate enough yet. This woman was not just going to be turned away because things didn't happen exactly the way that she had it all figured out in her head. That's the problem many times where we get stumbled and where things don't go exactly the way that we'd expect. We have it all figured out in our head. Well, if God's going to do something for me, he's going to come down, he's going to do it this way, and the pastor will do this, and this brother over here will do this, and then I'll know, and then God doesn't do it that way, and we give up on God. Don't give up on God just because you're stubborn, just because you want to see it happen the way that you want to see it. But no, God is bigger than our ideas. Naaman, you remember the story of Naaman when he came down and he wanted Elisha to pray for him, and he had it all figured out. He said, oh, the prophet's going to come out and he's going to lay his hands upon me and maybe he's going to anoint me and he's going to say some words, and the prophet didn't even come out and greet him. Amen. Didn't even come out and acknowledge him. He sent a servant out and said, hey, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. He said, hey, where I'm from, the water's a lot cleaner than around here. Why would I want to go dip in your muddy rivers? And his servant said, now calm down just a little bit, Naaman, calm down. Amen. I'd like to say this morning, calm down just a little bit. Don't get distraught. Don't get upset. Don't give up on God yet. I want to say this morning, God is moving. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we don't even see God moving, but God is moving whether we see it or not. Amen. Naaman couldn't see any change in his body, yet now he's got a word from the Lord. You say, well, it was a word from the prophet, but it was the prophet speaking to him. It was the prophet moving on the scene, and what God was doing was working through the prophet, through the gift that he had placed there in his life. And God comes on the scene through a prophet of God, and he tells him, go and do this. Now, he can be stubborn and ignore what God has told him, or he can go right ahead and obey what the voice of God said to him. That's how we are this morning. We can sit here and in our stubbornness and in our pride, we can cross our arms and say, bless God, I'm not going to do what the word says. I'll do it if God does A, B, C, D, E, F, and G for me. Then I'll know that he cares about me. Let me tell you this morning, he cares about you. Amen. Whether he does another thing to prove it or not, he's already done more than any mortal could ever do for you to prove that he loves you. He gave his life for you. He came, he died to save you, shed his blood. Oh my, he's done so much for me this morning, Brother Anthony. If he never does a thing for me, I know that he loves me. Amen. You know, just as our love isn't proved to him just in our works, so it works the opposite way too. It's not just his works that proves his love to us. How did Brother Branham say in the Church Age book that we know that he loves us? Because he said that he loves us. Amen. And you can either take him at his word this morning, or you can let your own ideas and opinions and your own stumbling around in the darkness confuse you and pull you away from it. But whether you feel it this morning, whether you see it this morning, he loves you either way. Amen. But his love isn't always expressed in the way that we expect it. He loved this Syrophoenician woman. He cared for her. He wanted what was best for her. But his actions, in our human understanding, his actions didn't look like it was expressing love right then. But yet, here he is, the very essence of love. We, as I said, we confuse love many times for sympathy. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, you can tell already, this is something, we looked at this a few weeks ago, They found a man that was casting out devils in the name of Jesus, and God was moving. Brother Bram said he was getting results, and God was doing things for him and working in his ministry. And the disciples said, hey, we found him because he wasn't part of our little group. We told him to stop what he was doing, and we told him to just shut up and sit down. And Jesus said, hey, don't do that. Said, he that's going to do something in my name, he can lightly say evil against me. So he that's not against us is for us. Amen. My, we've gotten away from that somewhere around the message, haven't we? We think that everybody that's not inside church with the open door or doesn't see it just like us or doesn't do it just like us is against us. That's exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. He said, he that's not against us is for us. Amen. So now they tried to stop this man and send him away. And now here they are again with the same spirit. This woman was making too much noise for him. They didn't like it. She's crying after us. She's making a scene. She's making an uproar. Send her away. You can tell they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Yet they were disciples. Yet they were called. Yet they were chosen. They were elected. They were predestinated. But their body hadn't caught up with their eternity yet. Amen. Their body hadn't caught up with their eternal destination yet. They hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet. And so their reaction was contrary to his reaction. They wanted him to send her away. Remember when they brought the little children to him like they did this morning and wanted him to dedicate the children and pray over them. They said, don't bother the Lord. He said, hey, suffer the little children. Don't send them away. My, they were always wanting to send people away. We got a lot of message churches like that too, don't we? They want to kick you out. They want to take you out from under the blood. They want to do anything they can if you don't fit their little mold of what they think that you should be. I thank God that he's bigger than somebody's thoughts of me. Amen. His thoughts are bigger than somebody else's thoughts. You may have people that have all kinds of ideas about you. Maybe you deserve some of them because of the way you used to act in your past. But I want to tell you, God can change your past. Amen. Your past doesn't have to be what your future is. He can come on the scenes and change you from that old creature that you used to be. Amen. So many times people's opinions of us don't get dragged down by somebody's opinion of you. But you just look and see, what is God's opinion of me? Amen. That's what I care about this morning. What's God's opinion of me? The disciples would have stopped many good works with their best intentions. The disciples weren't doing these things to be evil. They weren't doing these things because they were demon possessed or anything like that. They just hadn't got all the way to the Holy Ghost yet. So they were still trying to do the leading and guiding instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them. And this is what they thought was best in their own human intellect. They looked at these situations. They thought, oh my, the master is tired. Don't let these children bother him. But yet it was contrary to the will of God. They looked at this man and said, well, he's not part of our 12, so he can't be right. And they tried to set him down, but yet contrary to the word of God, now this woman, she's making too much noise and she's bothering the master. Set her down and send her away. But it was contrary to the will of God. You see how important it is to let the Holy Spirit guide your life? With all of our best intentions, with all, no matter how much we can figure it out intellectually, no matter how much we can think it through and try to figure it all out, it'll be contrary to the word of God if the Holy Spirit isn't the one doing the leading. Amen. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Brother Bram says, and led by the Spirit of God, 1956, he said, you know, usually where Jesus is, there's a lot of noise and commotion. Strange, but it works that way. And you know, a lot of commotion. That day when he come riding into Jerusalem on the back of the mule, I tell you, he said if they hold their peace when they screaming and crying, the rocks will cry out and shout. Amen. It doesn't scare me when you say amen. It doesn't scare me when you say hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, or things like that. That won't scare me a bit. You know, some people say, oh my, you know, I just like it when it's just so peaceful and so quiet and the Spirit just comes in. It's so gentle and you can just hear a pin drop. Let's see what the prophet of God said about it. He said there's a lot of emotion where he's at. You always find a lot of noise why I like to get around him. It's anything I hate, it's that real, still silence. That may be contrary to the way you had it all figured out in your mind of what God is, but I trust his leading and his guiding and what he was telling the prophet to share with us. Anything I hate, it's that real, still silence. You say, oh my, but he speaks in a still small voice. I know he does that sometimes, but when he does that, it doesn't make me still and small and quiet. When I hear that still small voice, I get a little excited about it. Amen. I'll respond to it. If you can sit there and God do something in your life, God can heal your family member, or he can heal your body, or he can save a loved one that you've been praying for 15 years, or he can do something, turn somebody's life around, you just sit there. Wasn't that wonderful, Brother Layton? I'm just not an emotional person. Wasn't that wonderful? But I'm going to tell you, if you won the sweepstakes and you had a $2 million check come in the mail, you mean to tell me you're going to open the envelope and pull that letter out and look at it and say, oh, honey, you won't believe what God just did for us. Oh, my, look, isn't that just precious? You would be running and skipping and screaming and shouting and doing cartwheels, and the neighbors would think you had lost your mind. But when it comes to something spiritual, we think that it's got to be so quiet and so calm and so peaceful. I don't know about you, if winning the sweepstakes or getting an inheritance from some rich family member that was off in the distance somewhere or whatever it would be, or if your favorite team winning the Super Bowl or winning some basketball tournament, if that'll make you click your heels and get excited and say whoopee or whatever it is, my, how do we have to act when God does something for us? He said, if anything I hate is that real still silence. Go around some of these old morgues around here. He said, you got them in Shreveport too. Puts me in mind of an undertaker's parlor. You take a dead man in there and embalm him so he can't come keep him dead. That's about the way it is. Teach some old theology that's just as dead as it can be back there and never tell him about the Holy Ghost filling him and giving him a new life and leading him. He said, all right, oh my, I don't want to pump you so full of something that you're dead and you can't move and keep you dead. I want to give you something that brings life into your body. Oh, each and every one of us, maybe we was dead in sin and trespasses at one time, but you don't have to stay that way. Amen. You don't have to stay in that condition, but God can move on the scene and do something for you. You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't know what I've gone through. You just don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't be so positive and say those things. You're right. I don't know every little thing that you've gone through, but I know somebody that does know. Amen. And I know that he cares about you. And I know that he said in his word that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So whether you can realize it, whether you can wrap your little carnal mind around it or not, all of these things that happen to you, they're happening for a purpose and for a reason. And God loves you enough sometimes to let you go through the trials because he's got a purpose at the end of it for you. My, this little Syrophoenician woman there, she sat. All, maybe she was discouraged in her heart. Here she comes for help, and he just ignores her, and he doesn't say anything to her. And the disciples come, and now they're telling her, the very men that's supposed to be there helping him and helping the people, now they're saying, just send her away, because she's causing a disturbance. She's being louder than we would like. She's doing this, and she's doing that. Send her away. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She comes and she says, thou son of David. And he says, I'm not sent. Now, in that aspect, he wasn't. As son of David, he wasn't sent but into the lost house, lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now, a little bit of desperation comes in. Now, let's be honest with ourselves this morning. Would we have reacted the way that she's about to react? Now, he's told her, first he's silent and he doesn't say anything. Now his disciples come and they're trying to kick her out of the service. And now he turns to her finally and he says, look, I'm not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshiped him. She didn't get mad. She didn't go and slam the door and say, well, fine, I'll never be back. She comes and she worships him and she says, Lord, help me. Oh my, whatever your condition, whatever you've gone through, whatever the last 5 months or 5 years or 50 years or whatever it has been, and maybe Satan has tried in your mind to turn your thoughts against God and to get angry with God and to get bitter and say, Lord, if you love me, you wouldn't let this happen. No, don't let him convince you of that. Come like she did and worship him anyway and say, Lord, help me. Every one of us, whatever your condition is, approach him in that way. Lord, I need your help. I need you, Lord. I need you. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Oh, my. He's not being, you know, this isn't some Joel Osteen lovey-dovey sermon. God just loves you and cares for you. He's being pretty harsh. And he's being, you know, he's not sugarcoating it. And he's not just trying to make it convenient and easy for her just because he wants to make another member of a church. He's wanting her to get desperate enough to where she can receive something. Many times we roll out the red carpet. We just want to treat everybody so nice. And, oh, my, you know, I hear that they've got a pretty good job. Maybe they'll be a good tithe payer. Don't say anything to offend them. No, you just do what the Holy Spirit leads and guides. and he'll take care of it. If somebody can't handle some good hard preaching, and if there's certain tapes that offend them or certain pictures of the prophet that offend them or whatever, if that shakes them loose, they're going to be shook loose somewhere. Amen. The scripture said that everything that can be shook is going to be shaken in this age. Amen. I told a brother on the phone the other day, I said, I guess Elvis did have it right on one thing. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. He just didn't know what kind of shaking that it was. Amen. Everything that can be shook is being shook to its foundation in this age. And the only thing that will remain standing is the predestinated word of God. Amen. If you're desperate enough, nothing can ever shake you away from it. Something about it, we've got to cling to him, because there's something on the inside of us that there was a seed down in our heart that wouldn't let go. Even when we wanted to let go, something on the inside holding us. Amen. He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it into dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. She didn't say, how dare you call me and my people and my race or my culture or my lifestyle? How dare you call me a dog? She said, truth, Lord. Yes. Amen. The parable's true, Lord. Exactly what you're saying, Lord. We shouldn't take the children's meat and cast it into the dogs. Truth, Lord. Oh, I don't know about you. Whenever I listen to the word of God, even if it's contrary, and I realize, Lord, I'm not quite living up to that level yet. Lord, there's still things in me. I need you to shave and trim a little bit more off of me. I can still say, truth, Lord. Amen. Maybe I have to say, ouch, oh me, amen, truth, Lord. But I can still say, truth, Lord. Amen. As I've said before, there's been so many times that I've been wrong, but the word hasn't ever been wrong. It was me. It was my humanity getting in the way, or my personality, or whatever it would be, or some struggle that I inherited genetically or picked up somewhere along the way, whatever it would be. But that doesn't change the word. You got people out here bringing a reproach on the message and saying all kinds of crazy things, and people turning away from the message and trying to bring things against it. That doesn't change the fact that it's the truth just because somebody else's opinion is different, or because their actions are different. I can still say, truth, Lord. Amen. Truth, Lord. Amen. Whether it rubs us the right way or not, the word is the truth. Amen. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's desperate enough. Whether he'll give her a whole slice of meat or whether he'll give her just a little piece of crumb of her bread that fell from the table. Lord, I'm desperate. I've went to everybody. The doctor can't help. The psychiatrist can't help. The lawyer can't help. This one can't help. That one can't help. I'm desperate, Lord. I need you. She got desperate enough. It didn't matter how much he gave. Just a crumb, Lord. I'll take a crumb. Amen. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. A scriptural voice. Amen. The disciples were not going to do it this way. Maybe some of the Pharisees were standing there saying, oh my, you see the way he treats his people? If we treated our people that way, maybe our crowds would be as small as theirs. Oh my, Brother Ben talked about the godly old priest there, you know, and how he treated everybody and all that. And maybe they were saying all kinds of things around him. They would have did it a different way. The Sadducees would have did it a different way. All these others had their own ideas and their concepts and their traditions of how to do it. But a scriptural voice comes, and he knows exactly what she needs to hear, and he knows exactly how strong her faith is. Maybe she didn't even realize when she walked into the meeting that her faith was that strong, but he knew, and she held on. Amen. She held on. She didn't just let go and fly off the handle at the first little thing that went wrong. She held on, and he says, great is your faith. And the child was healed from that very hour. Mark chapter 7 verse 30 said, and when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Oh my. Can we be persistent this morning? Can we hold on until God does something in our life? Brother Bram says in a paradox in 1965, he said, healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. What did we sing this morning? If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. He's a way maker. He's a prison shaking savior. He's all these things. Is it meet to take the children's bread and give it unto dogs? She said, just a crumb, Lord. Just something, just an inkling. Just anything, Lord. Just anything that you can do for me, I'm willing to receive it. My healing is the children's bread this morning. I read this and I thought about, us as earthly fathers. and how if our children are hungry. I don't know about you. I don't think my children lay up at night in the bed and bite their fingernails and wonder, oh my, what if Daddy doesn't feed us tomorrow? What if Daddy runs out of money and he can't take us out to a restaurant tomorrow? What if the cupboards run dry and Mommy doesn't have enough money to go to the grocery and get it? It's always been there for them. We've always provided for them. Amen. They've never went hungry. And so they don't have to lay up at night and worry, what if we run out of food? What if we run out of this? What if we run out of that? They know they can go in and open up the pantry and take out whatever they want. And if they don't have it, we can go down to the grocery store and get it for them. If we love our children that much as earthly fathers and mothers, to where you would go hungry just so that you could see them have a bite to eat, to where you would do without some of the things of finery and things that maybe you'd like to, just so that you could buy your children a little bit better quality of food or get them some better shoes for their feet or whatever it would be. If you feel that way about your children, how much our Heavenly Father? Amen. Brother Ram says again, God hath the provided way, 1956. Healing comes from Christ alone. Calling Jesus on the scene, 1964. When a man comes in and tell you he has power to heal you, he is lying. God alone can heal you. I'm the Lord that thy God who heals all thy diseases. He'll not share his glory with anybody. There is no man has power to heal. No man that can do it. Yet it's already a finished work that God has did it. And yet he'll come and he'll use human vessels. He'll use you. Brother Bram said he has no lips but our lips. No hands but our hands. And he'll use some vessel, as we've been looking at Wednesday nights, if they can get yielded enough to where he can use them, he'll use that person to lay hands on you. He'll use that person to pray for you. He'll use that person to put a prayer cloth or some anointing oil on you. And he will heal you. But it's not that person that did it. All they did was obedience to God's word. Yes. Amen. He says again, I stand at the door and knock, 1957. The power of discernment is in Christ alone. And anyone knows that is in God alone. Amen. It wasn't Brother Branham, wasn't Moses, wasn't all these men. You couldn't have gone up to Moses and say, hey, I have a problem, Moses. Show me, have a vision for me. Brother Branham said that one little girl there, she kept writing him, Brother Branham, can you have a vision for me about my family? He said, honey, until the Lord shows me, I can't do nothing. Until the Lord gives me a vision. She kept writing him, Brother Branham, can you see a vision for me? He said, honey, it doesn't work like that. Just like, no, man, you can come up and I can lay hands on you and pray for you, but I can't heal you. You can come up to the altar and I can pray with you, but I can't save you. I can't fill you with the Holy Ghost. But yet God uses human instrumentality to obey his word so that he can come and do the work. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. They're trying to make John a little jealous here now about his ministry. John, you pointed these men to Jesus, and here you are, the forerunner of him. And now look, he's baptizing people, and everybody's going to him. But as we looked at last week, a scriptural voice It's not a voice that gets jealous. It's not a voice of jealousy. It's not a voice that, you know, well, so-and-so goes to this church instead of ours, so they're just out or whatever it be. It's not a voice of that. It's a scriptural voice. It's whatever God can do for somebody. They're all about it. Remember we looked at how Brother Bram said the surgeon is against the chiropractor and the chiropractor against the medical doctor and all these. He said anything that God can do to help somebody, he was for it. And so now they come to John. Behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Yeah. Amen. Can you imagine being at a wedding? And stand there and the bride and groom come up before the people. And they're standing there about to have this invisible union that Brother Branham talked about. And now all of a sudden the best man gets up and he's going to be the whole theme of the show. And he's going to take control. And he grabs the microphone and says, hey, folks, I just want to let you know who I am and what I'm here to do. And all about me, you'd say, who is this crazy guy? Get him out of here. This day is not about the best man. It's about the bride and the bridegroom. Amen. And so John here, he comes, he says, hey, when the friend of the bridegroom is there, he's rejoicing for what God is doing between the bridegroom and the bride. It's not a selfish voice. It's not something, hey, look at me. I thank God that we had an Eliezer like that in this day. Amen. That he didn't point everybody and just say, hey, look at me. But he was trying to point us to Jesus Christ. Amen. Any true ministry of God will do the same. They won't say, hey, look at me. Hey, look at Nathan Bryant. Hey, look at Trevor Eamon. Look at this. Look at me. Look at I. And try to lift themselves up. They'll point you to Jesus Christ and to the message of the age. John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, John is speaking here, I believe, as far as their ministries and as far as their humanity, that Jesus was going to go on for 3.5 years here, and his ministry was going to continue to grow, and signs and wonders and followings of people. But John's ministry and his life was going to decrease to the point where they chopped off his head, and there he sat in prison alone and discouraged and questioning and things like that. But yet God, in his patience and love, just like he is to us, he spoke something good about John, even when John was questioning him. But I believe all of us, We need to get to this point, not just the pastor, not just the prophet, not just some leadership, but if we could get to this place in our life like John did, to where we're so unselfish, to where we can say, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. His desire must increase and my desire must decrease. His will must increase and my will must decrease. Amen. His life and his nature in me must increase, and my life and my nature must decrease. Amen. I don't know about you. I need more of him in my life and less and less and less of me. I've got to keep decreasing so that he can increase. Because the more of you that gets in the way, the less of him that can come in. But when we can decrease and decrease and decrease till we get up in the morning and we recognize, hey, I don't care. As Brother Branham said, he got to the place where he said, I think it was Brother Arnie had shared the quote with me recently. He said, I have no ambition of my own. Right. Now, I was talking to Brother Trevor about it the other day. Me and him were discussing. I said, oh my, I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet, but I'm getting there by the grace of God. Amen. But that didn't mean that Brother Branham still had things he liked to do. He liked to go hunting. He liked to go fishing. He liked to go out in the wilderness and things. Now, most of the time he was doing that so that he could get along with God. But he enjoyed those things. He said that his conversion didn't take the love of hunting and things out of him. There were things that he wanted to do. He wanted, as a human, to spend time with his family. He wanted to do all those things. None of those things are contrary to the word or ungodly or whatever it would be. But he had got to the point where his ambitions had got so small and so eliminated to where God could come in. And if his desire was, man, I'd really like to go and go fishing today, or I'd like to go over and go squirrel hunting today, and God said, no, you need to go over and pray for this person, he'd say, no hunting today, Brother Hoover. You remember he told the brother, they were getting ready to go hunting, and they got their guns and everything was going out the door, and he saw a visitor, he said, there'll be no squirrel hunting today. Why? Because he had got to the place where his ambitions were completely yielded to Jesus Christ. To where am I? If God's not leading me to do something today, it'd sure be nice to go down the road and relax a little bit, or spend some time with the family, or go do this activity, go to a park, or go fishing, or whatever it be. But if he's got something more important and of more eternal value for me, then I'm going to go do what he wants to do, because I want him to increase in my life, and I want my desires to decrease. Oh my, maybe we should just stop here and just hammer this for the next 20 minutes and dismiss. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, I was a decrease. I was talking Wednesday night there about, you know, Brother Bram talked about that if a church isn't really dedicated to Jesus Christ and doing things of eternal value there, that he said it's just a meaningless gathering of people, just an old morgue or whatever it be. And I was going through some things saying, you know, all these different activities that you can do, it's okay, but it, really when you get down to it, it's just a meaningless gathering of people. It's okay to do all these things, but it has no eternal value. So one of my deacons sent me a video this week of some people over at his house, and they had a little domino game, and they was having an award ceremony, and they said, this is the award for the winner of the meaningless gathering of people. I said, that's okay. While I'm telling stories on somebody, I had a song leader brother, who I won't name his name, but he did lead songs this morning, pull up to a stoplight beside me this morning, and there he is in a little bitty Honda van, and us in our 6.2 liter V8 with all-wheel drive, and he tried to race me in the snow. Oh, And I saw him in the rearview mirror as I drove off. Amen. You get all kinds of personalities and humanity and things up here, as Brother Furman tells us, but I thank God that he's still working on all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's okay. Brother Bram said, you know, a little good, clean fun. He said, there is no such a thing. But, you know, as far as what people were calling, oh, this is just a little good, clean fun to do this, just smoke a cigarette or drink or whatever. He said, there is no such a thing as that. But there are activities and things that we can do that, you know, Brother Green told me one time, he said, that, you know, he said, the reason that some of us message believers are so heavy, he said, it's because we've said that everything, we've legalized everything and said that everything's wrong except going out to eat. And he said, so that's why we're all so big. But there's things that we can do and enjoy, and God wants us. You know, that's what the millennium is all about. We're going to do and enjoy and build and not another man inherit and all those things. That's okay. But what does he want first?
Right.
Amen. What does he want for our life? I want to get to a spot to where there's so little bit of Nathan Bryant left that the people would look and they could see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Not because I want them to worship me, but because I want them to see him and not me. Amen. I don't want people to look and say, well, Nathan thinks this and Nathan did that and Nathan believes this and all that. I want them to look and say, there's a person that can really express the love of Jesus Christ to somebody. He must increase, but I must decrease.
Amen.
Brother Ram says again in the Ministry Explained 1956, he said, now the true servant of God never takes credit for anything. He gives credit to God.
Amen.
You see guys go around, I did this and I said that and I helped build this and I supported that and I. My, you better watch a guy like that.
Yeah.
Amen. But the true servant of God, he'll look around. My, I can look around this building. I can look around these pews and things. And as a brother told me on the phone yesterday, he said, Brother Nathan, you and he didn't mean it disrespectful to me. He's just being honest. It was actually my Uncle Jeff from Delaware called me. And Brother Jeff was telling me, he said, Brother Nathan, he said, you look at the work that God's doing there. He said, I know that you couldn't have done that. I said, absolutely, especially in our area. There's no way that I could have did it on my own. He said, you can see that it's God. And I said, that's right. And God gets the glory. Amen. God gets the glory for this little place that we assemble together. God gets the glory for the healings. God gets the glory for anybody that gets saved or filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I've said before, all we can do is create an atmosphere for those things to happen. Amen. Do you now believe 1953? He says, and now remember this. When I'm gone, Jesus will still be here. See, when I'm not at your church, Christ will be there just the same. Not a selfish voice. Not an agenda, not a selfish motive, not a voice of jealousy. He's telling the people, when I'm gone, Jesus will still be here. Now, he's just talking about that revival. But now that he's off the scene, we can see it's more than that, too, that even though he's not here physically, yet Jesus Christ is still here. Amen. Let me say this to you. I know there's a lot of you that, you know, I tell everybody we don't want any Nathanites or things like that, that they just, you know, follow me. But I know there's a lot of you that, you know, that you appreciate me as your pastor and things like that. And I appreciate that. I think as a church, you should respect your pastor. But don't lift me up to the place to where if I walk out the doors and get hit by a bus, that the church just implodes because Nathan Bryan isn't here anymore. Jesus Christ will still be here. If he tarries till I'm gone, he'll still be here a long time after I'm gone.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ will still be here just the same. Amen. I thank God for brothers that he's raised up here at the church, other minister brothers that he's placed here that can be a help. Even if I was telling Brother Layton the other day, even if I just go out of town for a weekend or to preach somewhere or whatever it is, you don't realize sometimes the pressure that it takes off of me to know, hey, I've got four good minister brothers here, and we've got about 1,200 and something tapes of a prophet of God that when I go out of town, I don't have to sit and worry and stress about what's going to happen to the church because I know Jesus Christ has still got it all in control. And he's anointing others and he's raising up others. And if it's his desire to take me off the scene at some time, then he will raise up somebody else with the capability to take the church right on. Amen. He's still, Jesus Christ is still the same. Does God ever change his mind about his word? 1965, he said, notice, it's always caused the natural to hate the spiritual. It caused Cain to hate Abel. It caused Korah to hate Moses. It caused Judas to hate Jesus and on it goes. It causes It causes the natural to hate the spiritual. Just as Cain at the beginning hated Abel, the one that God received the sacrifice from and tries to destroy them, even they try to destroy the influence They try to destroy everything because it's nothing but jealousy. It started in Cain and proved that it was jealousy. And it's still the same thing today. When the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual meet together, it proves it's Satan no other way, because jealousy comes from Satan. Jealousy comes from Satan. When you see somebody, oh, my brother so-and-so down there, he can't do nothing. He ain't going to do nothing. He's nothing that compares to us. You can hear Satan speaking right then, because it's jealousy. Hey, man, you know, most of you sitting here, you came from somewhere. You came out of the Methodist church or the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church. But, you know, I asked my parents, you know, when a lot of these people begin to split off the message, and they created websites and all these things and trying to attack and destroy and all these things. I said, when you left the Pentecostal church, did you do that? Brother Hoover, when you left the Pentecostal church, did you build it? Which they probably didn't have websites way back then. But did you send out mass letters to people saying how demon-possessed the Pentecostal people were and how... No, he had seen more light and he walked into it, but he didn't hate the people back there behind him. Amen. If he had, it would have proved that it was just a jealous spirit somewhere. We don't hate those people. Amen. I love those people. Anything that God is doing, a brother was telling me on the phone last night, he went over to a church. They don't even believe in holiness. But he said he was feeling the presence of God there and God was doing something for him. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. God's still moving. God's not just confined. I believe there's people even outside the realms of the message that are being saved. Now, I don't believe they can take a rapture unless they come up a little higher. But if they can accept what Jesus Christ did for them, the word tells us that they're saved if they can accept that it's a personal thing for them. Right. Amen. I believe there'll be multiplied millions that'll be saved over there that might knock our socks off, if we have any socks over there, when we get there. Yeah. Say, goodness gracious, this guy on my job, he made it. I didn't think he was anything. Oh my, anything inside of you that would want to keep somebody else from being there just because they don't see it your way, it's a jealous spirit and it comes from Satan. He said, and then causes an impersonation of the truth. Somebody to try to impersonate something that isn't, they're not ordained to do. How much of that have we seen in these last days? He says again, and does God ever change his mind about his word? When God does something for an individual, everybody tries to copy just like God did for that person. Be little carbon copies of whatever it is. He said, see, it causes a competition and it makes carnality. And then if they cannot, the other side, get the spiritual results, then they take it by a political power, or they substitute something to upset people's minds to draw disciples after themselves. Now, this is where the disciples went wrong. They looked at that man, as we looked at a few weeks ago, and with a selfish motive, they said, hey, he's not of us. He doesn't follow us. The question wasn't ever, are you a disciple of the disciples? The question was never, do you follow the disciples? Jesus said, follow me. Yes. Amen. He was following Jesus. He just wasn't following this little group of men. And they got all upset in their minds because they were trying to draw disciples after them. A selfish motive. And Jesus set them straight really quick. Amen. I'm not looking for any Nathan disciples. If you're a Nathan disciple this morning, God help you. You'll be out here in the snow trying to race a song leader or something. If you're a Nathan disciple... But if you're a Jesus disciple, then he can do something for you. Amen. Then he can work through you. I'm not trying to get people to follow me. I'm trying to point them to Jesus Christ and to the message of this hour. Brother Bram says in the third Exodus in 1963, he said, they went down in Egypt all because of the jealousy of a brother. 430-something years they were down there in Egypt because of the jealousy of a brother. I don't know about you. I don't want to get dragged back into Egypt because I'm jealous of somebody else or their ministry or their church or their work. God help us to keep that jealousy and selfishness away from us. He says again in the same sermon, third Exodus, he says, now the story of this jealous brothers is certainly of great comparison with the spiritual side of today. We all are aware of that it's pure jealousy, and not pure, it's old, dirty, filthy jealousy, see? There's no purity in jealousy. See, it's nothing but filthy jealousy. When they see the same Bible and the nature of the same God that wrote the Bible vindicating himself and then turn that down without reason. What is it? Pure, dirty jealousy, he said. dirty, filthy jealousy. When we see a church rise up and, oh my, they've got a great choir, and we feel like we've got to try to outdo their choir, oh, it's jealousy.
Amen.
Do what God led you to do. Some of you see somebody get up and sing a song, you think, oh my, I got to outdo them next time. That's just jealousy.
Amen.
I don't want to, you know, Brother Furman and Brother Ben and Brother Hoover and different brothers get up here and sing, and I don't want to get up behind them and try to outdo them. I just want to let the Lord use the little gift that He's placed in my life. Let them use their gift for His glory, and God will bless, and let Him use my gift for His glory, and God will bless. It's not us that gets the glory, it's Him that gets the glory. I'm not trying to outdo anybody. I'm not trying to be in the top three preachers in the world. I'd never make it. I'd never even get close, Brother Terry. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking to be the most requested brother to preach conventions. I have a pulpit that I can preach from anytime I want. Amen. Anytime the Lord leads. I don't have to try to edge myself in and get invited at 100 different places and do all that. That's not what I'm out for. I want to help somebody. I was telling the brothers the other day, I've got 10 countries right now that I have invitations to go and preach to. But if God doesn't lead me to do it, why would I want to get on a plane and fly across the ocean when He's using me right here? Now, if He leads, that's a different story, and I'll leave you in good hands while I'm gone. But if He doesn't lead, I don't have an agenda of something that I want to try to. I've seen some brothers, you feel like they're just trying to mark places off of a map and say, I was here and I was here and I was here and I was here. Amen. I don't care anything about that. Amen. I've been to New Albany, Indiana. That's all I care about. Amen. As long as He's doing the leading. If he leads me to Hawaii, that's between Him. You know, that whatever He wants to do, if He wants to lead me there, that's fine. The indictment, 1963. He says, now we know that spiritually they're doing the same thing today, for they're doing it too for the same purpose. And in the same way that they did in the crucifixion of the Lord physically, they are doing it because of jealousy and because of spiritual blindness that they don't want to see. They won't listen to it. Amen. That's why so many turned the message down. That's why so many are against gatherings where the Holy Spirit's moving and signs and wonders being done, because of spiritual blindness and little petty jealousy. And they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want anything to do with it. I want to hear about anything that God's doing for somebody. I was reading a book the other day. I was going to share it in a sermon along those lines, but I'll just get ahead of myself a few months and go ahead and share this with you. And by the time we get there, maybe most of you will forget about it anyhow. But I was reading a book on miracles recently that a man had wrote. Is the same man, is it Brother Trevor? You'll remember his name maybe. Is it Lee Strobel? Is that the guy that wrote Cakes for Christ? Lee Strobel's. That he wrote a book about how that God had brought him away from atheism and he was going to try. He was an investigative reporter and he was going to try to disprove the resurrection, and he wound up going and doing all kinds of forensic research just like he would an investigative report, and he wound up proving Christianity instead of disproving it, and had to admit that his wife was right. You know how hard that is for us brothers. But he wrote another book called The Case for Miracles. And he was talking, he talked to a bunch of different atheists that didn't believe in miracles and interviewed him. And then he talked to people that miracles had happened to, and he interviewed them. And he put it together in a book called The Case for Miracles. And I was reading that, and he referred to a lady that she was a woman missionary over in Africa. And she tells this testimony that they had got to a place. She had been a Sunday school teacher in America, and God had impressed it on her heart to just go help over in some country in Africa. I can't remember exactly where it was at. And she'd got over there, and she was helping as a nurse and different things. And there was a little child that was born there where she was at, and she was helping over a little orphanage of children and things too. And somebody had dropped off this baby, and it was about to die, and they needed a hot water bottle for it. And she had this hot water bottle on the baby, trying to keep it warm and trying to keep it alive and all these things, and the water bottle burst, and she thought, my, without that water bottle, I don't know if this child can survive a few more days. And so a little orphan girl there said, let's pray and ask Jesus to send us a hot water bottle. She said, we're in Africa. Who is going to send us a hot water bottle? And the little girl said, not only that, but she said, just to prove to the little baby that Jesus loves him, why don't we pray that God sends a baby doll for the little baby girl too? And she said, that was just too much. She said, I believe in praying for healing and things like that. But to pray for a water bottle and a baby doll, she said, I didn't think God could do that. And so she said, I just kind of said, okay, honey, you pray that, you know, and she didn't believe it would happen. And the next day, she'd been over there for about a year and a half, and she'd never received a care package from the Sunday school she used to teach. And the next day, they got a big package delivered to the village, and it had been about 6 months in transit on different ships and different things getting there. And it finally arrived to the village where she was at. And they opened up the box, and there was a letter from the Sunday school teacher that had taken over her class and said, we just felt led to put some things together that we thought you might need over there. And he said, it's kind of strange, but at the last minute before we were packaging it up, I just felt led to put a hot water bottle in there, and it was on the top of the package. And the little orphan girl said, well, sister said, if the hot water bottle's in there, then the baby doll's in there too. And they got to digging through, and there was a baby doll that one of the little kids from the Sunday school class had donated. That didn't happen in a message church, but it blessed my heart. Amen. God's working all over the world. Don't you limit God to the church of the open door or a move or a person or a personality. God can move the way anybody will let him move if we'll just allow him to move. Now, I don't believe he's going to move in the same capacity maybe that he does for the, you know, the further we go into truth, the more we accept what God's done in this age, the more that he can do for us. But that doesn't mean he's not going to move for somebody else. Brother Bam said, he said prostitutes many times were healed on the platform in a higher percentage than anybody. That's what he said. Just an old rank sinner. He said, you don't have to be a Christian to be healed. You have to be a Christian to stay healed. But we draw God down in such a small little box sometimes. Well, I know me and my family are okay. And, you know, there's a few people over at the church that I think they're okay. And the pastor, he's doing all right now. Now, if he offends me later down the road somewhere, then he's just out. But for right now, I think he's a pretty good guy. But we get such a narrow-minded picture of what God is doing. The seed shall not be heir with the shuck, 1965. Brother Bram said, one said, you're baptized to his death, and he pitched forward when he died. We're baptized to his death. The other one said, who buries a man on his face? You bury him backwards. He said, such nonsense. Separating people. It shows it's jealousy. It's from Satan. It isn't of God. He'd got over in another country, and there was this big division. One group over whether to baptize a man face forward or whether to baptize a man on his back. And they had divided over this and saying one was an idiot over here. No, they're an idiot over here. And he says it's such nonsense. Separating people, it shows it's jealousy. It's from Satan. It isn't of God. In the midst of both sides, God is neither on either side, but he is calling from both sides. Come out from among them and be ye separated, saith God, and I will receive you unto myself. Aren't you thankful for a God like that that would inspire a prophet of God to say something like that to us? Amen. To recognize it's not, well, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas and I'm on this side and I'm on that side and our little petty jealousies, and yet God goes right down the middle of the road calling from both sides. All through our ignorance and through our faults and through our humanity, yet he's still calling. You notice, and he was calling from both sides. He didn't just say, well, this group's right and that group's wrong. Brother Bram said it's petty jealousy and God calling from both sides. Now, we heard last week how that this unselfish nature that he had when it came time, he could have just stood up and said, well, some says I'm of Paul and some says I'm of Apollos and some says I'm of Cephas and some of Christ. And he could have got up and said, I'll just have you know, I'm the messenger for the hour. So only those that are of Paul are really the real true ones. But he didn't say that. He said, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you, lest people would have went and said, or except for two or three people there that he named, so that people wouldn't go out and say that he baptized in his own name. And he goes on, he's telling the people to exhort them. It's all one planted and one watered, but it's God that did all in all and through all, and he's encouraging them like that. And then we saw a man like Moses with the 70 elders there that Joshua came running in, the different ones, and said, hey, Eldad and Medad are out there prophesying in the camp. You better stop them. And he said, don't be jealous for me. Don't envy for me. Would to God that all God that God would raise up all of his people to prophesy and be prophets. He didn't have a jealous spirit. And so I like how Brother Branham does this. You can see, just like me or you or anybody else, you can see a little bit of his humanity start to show, and then you can see the Holy Spirit rein him in real quick. Amen. I can follow a man like that. Amen. The sixfold purpose of Daniel, Gabriel's visit to Daniel 1961, he said, I hate to say this, but some great writer I was reading about the other day, if he didn't have that messed up, he said what it was. Now, just to show how stupid, Oh, excuse me, he says. I don't mean to say that. Forgive me. I don't mean that. I really didn't. No, a man without anointing, see? The man said, you see here that visions and prophecy was always allowed to the Jewish church, and said from Daniel's time on, when Daniel come, it meant that they would have no more visions or no more prophecy. Said all these things today that they talk about having visions and prophecy was all things of the devil, and that there was no such thing as visions and prophecy. Brother, there was dozens of prophets after Daniel. And there was John the Baptist. There was Jesus Christ. There was the prophets of the New Testament. There was visions. There was angels. How in the world can a man say that? But you see, that's with a selfish motive to trying to push something over on the people to make it a little church doctrine. Oh, how we've seen it around the message. A selfish motive, trying to push something over on the people, say, hey, look, I got a little more revelation than everybody else. Nobody's teaching this the way that I teach it. Yeah, when I hear them say that, I get a little scared, because I figure if nobody else can see it but them, there must be something wrong somewhere with it. He said a little petty thing to become a reality to the people, and if the people hasn't got the Holy Ghost, they'll be deceived by it. Little petty jealousies and selfish motives. God keep us from it. But he brings it down. He explains to us what the problem is. I love this. He says in Divine Love and Sovereign Grace, 1956, he says, so the thing it is, it's a lack of love. It's a lack of love. If I can't draw the circle bigger and say, brother, I love you even if I disagree with you, or even if maybe somebody's ways of doing things. A brother sent me a link a few days ago to a website of a testimony, and he was so blessed by it. And he said, I don't agree with the way that this group of people, you know, the way that their way of doing things, you know, their tactics or whatever. He said, I don't agree with it at all, but I was so blessed by this. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, we don't have to agree with everybody. There's nothing in this Bible that says, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt agree with everybody. If you maybe you got some new translation that's off the word or something, but I've never read that in my Bible that I have to agree with everybody. But I do believe I've got to love everybody. He said it's a lack of love. No matter how many prophecies we have, how many great preachers, how much theology we know, how great a church that we belong to, if love doesn't temper that together, it's of none effect. Of none effect. Can you imagine getting down to the end of the road, all the miracles, all the preaching, all the toil, all the witnessing, all the hours that you spent in prayer, everything, and you get down to the end of the road and Jesus stand there and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because you were doing it with a selfish motive. Because you were doing it with a jealous spirit that I'm going to pray. Brother Layton prayed 3 hours yesterday, so I'm going to pray 3.5. And Brother Trevor, he passed out 20 tracts yesterday, so I'm going to pass out 22. And Brother Lee listened to 3 tapes in the last 3 days, so I'm going to listen to 4. And on and on and on, trying to outdo somebody. That's not love. That's works. That's jealousy. But when love tempers it together, you can say, praise God, Brother Layton, I'm happy for you. Praise God, Brother Lee. I'm happy for you that you got less. Praise God, Brother Trevor. Thank you for doing something for the kingdom of God. You know, I haven't been doing as much as I should lately either. And maybe I need to do more. I need to help somebody. Not so that we can mark something off the calendar or mark something off a checklist or off of a map and say, I did this and I went here. But because love compelled us to do it. If love doesn't temper that together, it's of non-effect. Love will make, Brother Bram said, love will make a calico dress, put her arm around a gingham dress, and make a bibbed overall, put their arm around a tuxedo suit. And it'll make the white put their arm around the black, and it'll make the brown put their arm around the yellow, and on and on and on. It'll make the rich put their arm around the poor, and it'll make the Baptist put their arm around the Methodist, and the message put their arm around the Pentecostal, or whatever it is. Say, I love you and I'm praying for you. And I don't have to agree with you on everything, but I love you anyhow. Amen. Praise the Lord. A scriptural voice. Amen. We looked at it last week. Jesus told him in Matthew 24, verse 12, one of these signs of the end said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But you know, he gives us another scripture here over in John to differentiate between us and the world. He's telling us that in the world, the love of many shall wax cold. But over in John chapter 13, verse 35, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you can quote more than Brother So-and-so, that's not what he said. If you can listen to more tapes than Brother So-and-so, if you can memorize more verses than Brother So-and-so, If you can get closer to, you know, some personality in the message than Brother So-and-so, or if you can pray more hours than Brother So-and-so, or if you can witness to more people than somebody else, or you can do this. He said, this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A true evidence of a believer is somebody that can put their arm around somebody and say, look, I don't agree, but I love you anyhow. I don't see it like you see it, but I'm praying for you anyhow. And if I'm wrong, as I heard a brother say last night, if I'm wrong, I hope that God brings me up to where you are. And if you're wrong, I hope God brings you down to where I'm at. Amen. Love one to another. Love and respect. You know, in this age, it just, all you got to do is walk out on the streets, or even I can sit and listen to some of y'all's children talk to you, and I can recognize respect has just gone out the window in this age. Respect and love for one another has gone out the window. But the real true bride of Jesus Christ will still have it. And even if we don't agree with somebody, we can respect them in the office that God has placed them in, and we can love them in a way that we could love somebody else that we did agree with. And it's easy to love somebody you agree with. It's easy to love somebody, like Brother Bram talked about that Pentecostal cat. It's easy to love somebody when they're rubbing that fur the right way, and they say, oh, Brother Nathan, you did a good job Sunday morning. Oh, you're preaching it just right down the line that I see it. Oh, it's easy to love somebody like that. But when they write you a nasty email and say, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost, or you wouldn't have had Brother So-and-so in, or you wouldn't have did this, you wouldn't have did that, it's harder to love that person, but doesn't mean that we can't love them. It's just a little harder. We gotta work a little harder at it and get back down on our knees and say, Lord, you know it's easy for me to love Brother Jimmy because he patted me on the back last Sunday and said, attaboy, it's easy for me to love him. But this other brother out here that said I was a deceiver, Lord, I need to pray a little longer to make sure I love him the right way. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Amen. Musicians, if you'd come this morning, let's just bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you for a spiritual, scriptural voice. Lord, many times it's a voice of correction because our humanity and our actions and our humanity many times will drag us away, Lord, from what we should be and from that scriptural voice. And Lord, not because we want to, not because our intentions are that we want to do something contrary to the word, but many times just our humanity gets so in the way. As Paul was talking about there in Romans chapter 7, how when he would do good, evil was present there with him. And how there was a constant battle between his flesh and the spirit. But Lord, I thank you that we have a scriptural voice in this age. That even when we get off the path a little bit, there was a voice that would cry out and say, get back in line. A voice to the bride that would scream out when we get off the path a little bit and say, get back in line. Lord, help us this morning. I believe all of us can look inwardly this morning as we've looked at the quotes and the scriptures and recognize, Lord, there's so many times we come up short in the way that we treat one another. There's so many times we come up short, and Lord, in our prayer life and not being desperate enough for things. Lord, we say we want to see things happen. We say we want to see people in our family saved, and we say we want to see things change. But Lord, I wonder sometimes if we really get desperate enough in prayer and in action, Lord, to show that we really mean it. Give us more love, Father. Lord, not just for those that love us, not just for those that treat us right. Lord, you said when you was here on earth in a flesh body, you said the Pharisees can do that. And Lord, not only the Pharisees, but all those that would just go about and just try to do something out of works, the publicans or the different ones, Lord. They could do those things, love somebody that loved them. They could love their family. They could love their best friend. They could love their co-workers that was able to promote them and give them a lot of money. And they could love those that was patting them on the back saying, attaboy, you did a good job. But Lord, you told us to love those that despitefully use us. To love those that would kill us if they had an opportunity. To love those that persecuted us. Lord, we can't hardly love somebody that dislikes something we put on social media or says something critical about us or our family or our church. Help us, Lord. We've lost some of that love and respect that, Lord, that you're calling us to somewhere along the way, I believe. Lord, I need more of you. May you continue to increase and may I continue to decrease, Lord, so that the people don't see a person or a personality or a name or a title or a doctrine or a theology, but they see the love of Jesus Christ being manifested to the people. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, your prophet told us when he first started out in the ministry, he thought that if he wasn't Baptist, he was just out. But he tells us that he found out after a while the blanket stretched a little further. Oh, Lord, help us to realize the blanket will stretch to whosoever will if we'll just let it. Lord, help us this morning. Help us not to begrudge anybody of any blessing that you would give them. Help us not to begrudge anybody of any work that you would do through their church or through their life or their ministry. Lord, help us to be happy to see anything that you can do to help humanity, whether it's through us, through our church, through somebody else, even if it's from some denomination out there, whatever it is, Lord, if they're trying to do something for you, Lord, help us not to get in the way of it. Help us to pray for them and express love, Lord, and try to encourage them a little further in Christ. Give us that right kind of attitude, Lord, not a selfish motive, not a jealous spirit. Not to try to win somebody to you just so we have another star in our crown, but because we're concerned about humanity. We want people to see the Lord where you've brought us from. And you, Lord, that if you could do it for us, you could sure do it for somebody else. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you do for us. Be with us, we pray. Lord, if there's some here that, Lord, they know they're not living where they should be, if they need to come up a little higher in Christ, Lord, may you make them desperate this morning. Give them that desperation to search, Lord, for more of you in their life, that deep calling to the deep. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, grant it, Lord. Amen. You love him this morning? Why don't we sing it together? Oh, when he reached down his hand for me, I don't know about you, but he had to. Is this where he found you? Oh, once my soul, it was astray from the heavenly way. Oh, I was wretched and vile as could be. But then my Savior above, oh, he gave me joy and love. That's when he reached down his hand for me. Oh, if you don't know him like that this morning, you can. Oh, when he reached down his hand for me. Thank you, Lord. Well, I was nearing despair when he came to me there. Oh, and he showed me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet. He gave me glory come. Stand and sing it this morning. Oh, how my heart doth rejoice since I made him my choice. From the tempest to him, now I lean. Oh, now I lean on his arm. Lord, I'm secure from all harm. Oh, since he during service, I didn't realize, but Brother Chad Vaughn's grandfather, James, had already passed, and the viewing is today at Newcomers Funeral Home in New Albany from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you can go show your support for the family, I'm sure they'd appreciate that. And then the funeral is Monday at 11 a.m. at Gospel Tabernacle there in Jeffersonville. So let's remember the family in prayer at this time. Let's just bow our heads together, if you'd play that softly. Lord Jesus, Lord, it's been good to be in church. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your mercy to us. Lord, just ask that you'd be with this family, Lord, the Vaughn family losing this loved one. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that came forth on Wednesday that he renewed his experience with you, Lord, before passing. Lord, it's encouraging, I'm sure, to the family to know that. Lord, I just ask that you'd help each and every one of us. May we not wait till it's too late to rekindle that relationship with you, Father. Help us not to lose that first love that you talked about there in the book of Revelation. Help us, Lord. Lord, may you just comfort this family in a way that only you can. Lord, give them encouragement. Bless them and be with them as the days go by, Lord. Be with each one gathered here, Lord, different ones that have lost friends or family recently. Ask that you be with Brother Russell Jones's family. Comfort them, Lord, during this time of loss. And Sister Vera was telling me about another close friend of theirs that had passed away recently. May you comfort that family. Be with each one that's traveling, those that are sick in body. Give us more of you in our life, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Let's sing this together before we go. Oh, I need more of you, dear Savior. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Oh, I
me with nothing less. Fill me with nothing.
Let's sing it as we're dismissed.